the Wanderers in all gold and black. You better retreat, cause we're on the attack. The strength of the wolf is the strength of the pack. We're Wolverhampton, we're on our way back.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 337. That's three. It's three. It's seven. It's the ENS. Wolves podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Judah. I'm delighted to be joined by guest podcast ally of the week. It is Mr. Liam Keane. Keano, how's it going?
Didn't expect to have me, did you?
Oh.
And here I am.
I mean, this is a huge bonus. It's a huge bonus. We are recording on a Sunday afternoon. There's not too many bloody Sundays that we've recorded, I don't think, even though this is going out on Monday afternoon. But yes, thank you for, obviously you're working today, I'm working today. We had a discussion, partly due to the fact that Wolves play Wednesday night, I realise, against Bournemouth. So we would have had to do this if you were here and not buggering off to Qatar to ride camels in the desert. We'd have done probably a late night loving on Wednesday night. So I was thinking, okay, we'll get a podcast guest on Thursday before I realise that it's my anniversary on Thursday and I may not have a wife if I do record a podcast on that Thursday morning due to the fact that we're going away for the day / night. Bow chicka wow wow. And so here we are on Sunday afternoon.
It's a treat, isn't it? The masses that listen to this think, oh God, we're losing Keno for a week. Fuming, gutted. Mm. And all of a sudden, here I am down the airwaves. It's like magic. I have arrived. I am the genie who has come in on my magic carpet and I'm here.
I mean, the other reason here is because Spears couldn't do it. So, you know,
well,
it's great to have you.
Yeah, and that and you forget about your anniversary. But apart from that, here I am.
I must thank, though, I got 8 different people sliding into the old DMs, no pictures, but offering their services as well for this podcast week, which is lovely. And I really appreciate everyone. And we'll reach out back to them and say thank you so much, because it is lovely. And we all are part of said community. So really appreciate people stepping up to the plate, because, you know, it's not a very hard act to follow when you're going to be away for the week.
Oh, that's where we're going with this poddy. Okay.
Are you excited? Are you packed? Have you got a lot of suntan lotion? Because I assume, you know, you've been, which you've said on this podcast, slightly pasty. And in terms of tanning, you're not great in the sun. So what's your factor?
Well, yes, I've packed. All organised. Did it this morning.
Tighty whities in there?
Of course. Speedos, the whole lot. Ooh. And
32 degrees, mate, during the day. I'm just looking at it now. Humidity 61%.
Yeah.
Precipitation chance 1%.
And that 1% is my kind of look.
You'd probably take that, though, wouldn't you?
Maybe a little drizzle here and there just to cool me down. Yeah, look, there's nothing wrong with being pasty. Mm. I own it. Okay. I think I've earned my pasty respect. But I burn very quickly. It does turn to tan, but it has to burn first. and with that in mind, I don't want to come back as a lobster, so I have factor 50 ready to go.
Wow.
And I have 50. To. If it's not
5-0.
If it's not 50, I'm struggling.
You were struggling at the game on Saturday as well with your night out.
Less a night out, more a military friend of mine who was back in the area. We went out had a couple of
See, when you say military friend, that instantly reminds me of like pints. Well, not instantly, I've not done this before, but I feel like military means that they're big drinkers, which means that I would be on the floor after 2 pints, and he's looking at, I'm thinking you're going to have more than 5.
Well, you did say this to me at the game yesterday. You said, what is, you know, a few pints? Was it 5? And I went, no, it was way more than that. And you were like, more than 5? Like, you couldn't believe that 5 was, you know, that anyone in this planet is drinking.
I don't think I've ever had more than 2 full pints of lager in my life. Like,
which is,
back
which
to
is
back.
Incredible. I was on the Guinness, on the good stuff. And, it wasn't late because we're getting on now, but it was heavy enough that by Saturday morning, obviously with it being a late game, I then spent the rest of my day before going to Molineux painting the living room, which was
in what
stressful.
Vomit shade of multicolored black?
Well, it easily could have been with what was coming out of me from both ends.
Oh mate, stop.
Saturday morning. Wow. Then rock up to Molineux. You don't feel great, but I got through it. I was all right. And
well, with the menu that I read out in the previous episode, that really sorted us out. I mean, they were excellent, weren't they? They were on top of it yesterday.
Wait, what's that? Oh, the menu. Menu.
The menu,
oh,
the food.
I completely had no idea what you were talking about then. Menu was good. Food was very good. I was, I needed that sustenance to keep me going. I was a little bit fragile. I was nothing too bad. I've been a lot worse. Been worse in pre-season, I'll tell you that much. But,
I was in the old London town on Friday, got back Saturday. I went to go and see Stranger Things, the West End show, The First Shadow. Honestly, and you're a Stranger Things fan as well, which I said to you as well, but if anyone who is waiting for the new episode, new season, well, you're going to wait till 2025, go and see this show. This is a prequel of Stranger Things. This isn't just like a side. It's not a musical. It is basically the emergence of Vecna, and it is absolutely insane. Some of the effects that they use in this show, my God. And I think you can get the tickets for, I mean, obviously like not front row or, you know, really good, but I think you get them as low as 20 quid, 25 quid. Honestly, I mean, I wasn't there. I was obviously in VIP area. We had a cheese board champagne beforehand and got escorted to our seats, which were front row centre. But apart from that, honestly, every single seat in that place, there was a great view.
What cheese?
I got spat on as well during the show. And I mean, not...
Wait, what?
Not, they didn't see Judah and spat on me, but the actor spat on me because there's a lot of... I don't want to give too much away. A lot of foam going on in that show.
Mate.
Honestly.
You've got to be joking.
I'm not joking. We're in the splash zone.
Mate, I'm kicking off. Someone's
really? I kind of liked it. Immersive what? Experience.
I bet you liked it.
Wiped it off and licked it.
Oh, mate. That's awful. Now answer the important questions. What cheese?
There was brie. There was some blue. There was some like hard Comté. I like a bit Comté. And the other one, what was the fourth one? I think it was almost like a Parmesan. And rosemary crackers and some dates and fig. Quince or quince, as you say. Beautiful.
Brie is top tier, so that sounds pretty good to me.
Very good, mate. I would definitely recommend you going, seriously. I mean, we probably would have gone together if we were at London this weekend, which we probably should have been.
Let's not talk about that.
As we record. Shall I see what the score is at the moment?
Oh, I don't even want to know. It's happening right now. It's first half, isn't it, still?
Yeah, Man U just gone 1-0 up.
Oh, you love to see it.
Gone 1-0 up. Cheers, Cov. Right, so before the Saturday at Arsenal, we went to a press conference on Friday, and there was a bombshell that Gary O'Neill threw out ahead of the game. And look, it reminds me of the kind of the bombshell that we saw against Coventry, which Gary O'Neill didn't really give too much team news away because he knew exactly what was going to happen. This time he decided to deliver that news. It was equally as bad, if not worse. But it was definitely a shock to us and a disappointment, really. And we'll come on to the game in a little bit, but he must be getting tired of this, Gary, having this amount of injuries, albeit with such a small squad. And again, we'll discuss his post-match comments. But it's Groundhog Day at the moment, isn't it? Especially when you get someone like Cunha back.
I know.
And scoring a brace after all that time. And then you see what you're missing. And then all of a sudden he's missing again. It's just one thing after another.
I know, it really is. Interesting you mentioned the Coventry one because it was... the first time he'd done it all season, wasn't it? And he came out and said, I'm not going to give any team news away at all. I tried to push him for a little bit and he didn't really bite. And obviously we weren't sure what was going to happen with Neto and Bellegarde at the time. Turned out, obviously, after that game that it was Neto's season was near enough done. That may not be the case. Now he may get back and play a game or two, but obviously... by the by, really, at this point in the season. And I wonder whether Gary had a dilemma in his own mind, whether he considered doing the same thing again ahead of Arsenal, or whether he thought, you know what, it's probably best that I get it out there and give the fans opportunity to sort of rally behind them, which obviously we'll come on to and speak about, which they did. But yeah, it was one of those moments which happen, you know, in a season every year you get, I don't know, a handful of these moments where it's like, right, this is, you know, big stories, big movement, things happening, good or for bad, you know, affecting Wolves. And it was one of those, like, you got to jump straight into action and start getting everything out. And yeah, it was pretty bizarre, really, because, I mean, Dawson was expected because of, obviously, what we heard the previous week about him possibly having surgery, which he did end up having, and his season's over. But then to get sort of pretty much every other player just a negative. Mateus Cunha, not going to be around it. Could make midweek, but not 100%. Semedo, he's been so consistent. Lose him, such a disappointment. And I think Wolves really did miss him, actually, at the weekend. And then obviously Bellegarde still hasn't improved. Neto on the grass and getting better, but no, not even close to playing at the weekend. Aitnori not able to start the game. Sarabia and Lamina, which he hinted at in the press conference, actually, struggling with a bit of fatigue, and for Sarabia was a bit of a groin issue. May not be able to start, end up that they don't start. So many of these really key players dropping out of the team. And when it's an already small squad, you've got such limited options to choose from. And you have to feel for Gary and some of the more senior players that were left trying to carry the mantle.
Yeah, and up emerges a tweet of one player is happy as he got to miss science to train with us today. He's ready for tomorrow, which kind of erupted a little bit. Who was said player? And I'm quite worried about the science test that he will have in a couple of weeks' time and whether he might flunk it or not.
I've got a feeling he'll be okay. Wes Okudua, right back, 15 years old. He was on the bench, obviously, at Newcastle, wasn't he, the other month? Was it João Gomes, wasn't it, at the time, who dropped out late that before that game? So, yeah, and Wes made the bench that day as well. So, same player, I think, very highly rated.
Same player, different subject.
Geography
last time.
It very well could have been. And yeah, missed a bit of science class to join in with training, which is, you know...
Great quote, though.
Remarkable stuff. I mean, obviously it wasn't just him. They had Temple Odjinaka, who I watched for the 21s a couple of weeks ago. And I sort of said to you and tweeted at the time, thought he looked really good, right back again. Very physical, big lad. Good going forward. I really liked what I saw with him. So obviously he was there again. Ty Barnett, who's been on the bench quite a lot recently, again on there. Fletcher Holman has been occasionally on the bench. And then obviously Fraser making up what is a very, very young bench alongside a couple of senior players who did come on.
I mean, we laugh and have a joke, but, you know, realistically, it is incredibly sad and frustrating. And I'm not sure, could it have been helped? Because a Premier League club should not be in this situation, should they? You know, fighting on all fronts a month ago or a lot of fronts a month ago, and to be, you know, going to a game against a team who are now top of the Premier League as we speak, it's quite sad, really, in a lot of respects.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Gary sort of spoke about it after the game, saying, like, I wish we were in the position that we were a month or so ago, fighting for Europe and, you know, FA Cup run ahead of the Coventry game, and there's so much positivity around. And I sort of, you know, I feel for him, really, in the sense that, one, yes, they've been sort of so unlucky with the fact that the injuries have been in the same area of the pitch, I think, has been probably the biggest part of the bad luck. But, and Gary's made this point quite a few times, it is also fair to say that Wolves have not had an incredible number of injuries in comparison to a lot of other sides. They've probably had about right, maybe one or two extra if they've been slightly unfortunate, but it's not been anything massively out of the norm in terms of number of injuries. It's more the location of the injuries, and that's because of the size of the squad. The squad was overperforming a long time ago in this season. We discussed on the podcast about, are they going to fizzle out? Are they going to have a bit of burnout? Are they going to run out of steam towards the end of the season? And it's less that in the sense of quality or willingness to perform, but more that their bodies are broken down. And there's been so many sort of recurring or new injuries with players that Gary Neil's got 10 senior outfield outfield fit players to choose from for a starting 11 game in the Premier League. So, yeah, it's something that absolutely needs attention for next season, because they can't allow Wolves to get in the same position again. They have to have some more strength in depth to give Gary the kind of options he needs to see through a whole season, let alone, you know, a third of a season, which are, you know, in terms of injuries, they've probably had, what, about a third, maybe less of a season with all the players fit. Other than that, there's been at least one player injured every now and then and causing headaches.
So Wolves nil, Arsenal 2. It's strange to think that is there such a thing as a good defeat. But I guess with the worry and the issues and going into the game, and I think a lot of people thought there could have been a bit of a spanking with Arsenal having a reaction, of course, from a dreadful week for them. And actually, I thought they were pretty magnificent for large parts of this game, from the team that was selected to the way that they... The positional nous that Gary O'Neill had installed into these players, the way they performed, the way they kept the ball. It's fine setting up a team and setting up a team who are unfamiliar with some of the roles they're playing. It's another thing to carry that out against the quality of opposition of a said Arsenal. And I actually thought that for the first half an hour, Wolves had the best chance in João Gomes. It was a good save by David Raya. But they just looked very organised, very composed, very measured. And I think that actually what they'll take out of that game in the end is that a lot of confidence, they can mix it, and they've been written off so many times this season, and yet they've shown that there is a lot of talent there. Yes, a very small squad, but there's still some talent coming through that, you know, they can do something special and do something really quite out of the ordinary with some backing in the next 2 to 3 seasons.
I think the biggest compliment I can pay, it's come back to a point I've sort of just made really, is that Gary and the players have overachieved, not because there isn't quality there. I mean, look at Pedro Neto and Mateus Cunha and Hwangi Chan and Mario Lemina and all of these different players. They've all got brilliant individual quality. It's mainly the size of the squad and the fact that you know, the bodies break down at this level. I mean, the elite Premier League football is incredibly difficult to play, let alone week in, week out for any human being. So that's the biggest compliment I can pay, is that they've got themselves into this position because of how good they've been, how consistent they've been all season. And then there is the opportunity now, albeit financial, you know, restrictions and concerns are going to be there certainly going into this summer and something to consider. They have an opportunity to build from this campaign. You've seen what they can do when they've not been given a lot to work with. What can they do when they have just a little bit extra? But that will come down to a lot of the strategy, and I might be jumping the gun on a question here, but just, you know, the strategy that the Wolves are going to have going into the summer. We've spoken to Matt Hobbs about this. It's a self-sustaining strategy when it comes to the football side of things. So if you sell one player for 60 million, you reinvest that 60 million and bring 2, 3, 4, whatever it might be, players in. That is likely to be where Wolves are at. Now, if they don't sell anyone at all, which they can, they're not forced to sort of financially, they don't have to sell. It just means they won't be able to bring as many in. But if they do refuse to sell anyone and keep the whole squad together, they'll be in a position to still do some business, but it won't be... Well, it's certainly going to be a big question as to whether it's enough business for what Gary Neil's going to want, and also enough business for what the squad needs, really, just to add a bit more depth to it. But there'll be players on freeze, there'll be loans, there will be business you can do alongside potentially selling a big asset and reinvesting the money.
Yeah, thanks for answering my next segment after this game, but we'll move on to that in a bit.
it was sort of the question you'd already asked, though. So I wasn't sure whether to jump into it or not. So I did.
It's okay. We can move into that in a little bit. In terms of the game itself, I thought the fans were unbelievable. First and foremost, like absolutely insane. But performance-wise, Doyle was a standout. And actually, what I want to talk, I'll ask you really about a player who we haven't seen a lot this season, but someone who's been here for quite a little bit of time now, in Boubacar Traoré. I actually thought he had a very good game. He's still raw and there are still mistakes there, But can you see someone who could be a regular in this Wolves side if he changes, makes small changes and adjustments to his game, and maybe a little bit more consistent? Or do you still worry about maybe the haphazardness of some of his play at times?
Yeah, I think you can definitely see what it is the Wolves saw in him when they brought him in. Obviously, initially on loan and then making that permanent. He's a player that, I mean, haphazard might be slightly kind to him. I don't want to batter him too much, but it's weird because I'm really fond of him. There's something about him that, as a person, as a player, he's quite likable. He brings a lot of energy. He's really good in the tackle. He's got incredibly good stats when it comes to ball retention and tackles and you know, just turning over play. That side of his game is brilliant, and I think if he can keep focusing on that and focus on what his strengths are while improving weaknesses at the same time, he becomes a real good specialist midfielder. But those weaknesses, I mean, there's still big work to do there. Now, I agree with you. I thought he did well last night because Wolves didn't give him the ball that much. I think if Wolves gave him the ball a bit more, he might not have had quite as good a performance. His first touch, his initial pass, sometimes his awareness in possession, all needs quite a bit of work, I think, if I'm honest, for Premier League level. But there is and I think Gary sort of alluded to this to say, like, I think he's a player that would really benefit with a pre-season with Gary and his coach, which I completely agree with. But there is still the basis of a really good midfielder there. But I use the phrase specialist midfielder, and I can continue to use that because I don't think he's ever going to be a number eight sort of box-to-box, all-round, all-encompassing midfielder. I think he's a ratter. He's someone who's going to win the ball. He's someone who's... His athleticism's off the charts. I mean, he's incredibly athletic, he's quick as well, really covers ground really well. But sometimes his second touch is a tackle, and there's, you know, there's a lot of things to improve in that department. But if you can have players around him that are going to do that, a Tommy Doyle, for example, as you mentioned, I mentioned on the video last night, I thought was really good, who's so good in possession, then that complements each other quite nicely. And he did well last night because I think of Tommy and other people being around him, alongside him, battering Odegaard, going into tackles, winning the ball. He was so good at doing that kind of the game. And if you can add a bit more of a bit more finesse to him as well, then there's a really good midfielder in there. But he probably needs a little bit of time still. And I think hopefully Gary will be the man to get it out of him.
But so do you think he only plays as a six, is what you're saying?
I think so. But it's this almost a specialist six, because he's the kind of player that I think if you give him a tactical job, like last night, I mean, he was on Odegaard consistently. If you give him a tactical job, I think he's got the intelligence to go out there and do that job. But the job for him is not going to be the quarterback role that Tommy Doyle did, where he sits just in front of the defence, picks the ball up and dictates play. It will be getting amongst it, winning the ball, driving Wolves forward, and making sure that as soon as he gets possession and he drives forward, he can look for players around him. So it's a six, but an aggressive six is probably the way to phrase it. It's someone who is more defensive-minded and lets players in front of him have the ball. Once he wins it and drives forward, he plays it off and he allows them to play. But he's someone who presses aggressively, occasionally will press high up the pitch as well, and will do that specialist role. I think he's got that intelligence to do that. It's just tidying up the in-possession things around it. But I like him. I think, as I say, he's really quite endearing. There's something about him that's so raw and haphazard and likeable that you want him to do well. And I do think there is a player in there that could really, you know, perform for Wolves.
But if you've got the likes of João Gomes, Tommy Doyle, as and when he's bought, yes, he is going to get bought, don't worry, and, you know, Mario Lemina in there, then how does Boubacar Traoré even get a look in? Because you've got to think that, and look, yeah, it depends on the recruitment in the summer and maybe a change of formation, but the best we've seen Wolves are in a back three or a back five or a hybrid back three, back five. And yes, the different setup when they're attacking to when they're defending, but it's worked very, very well when the senior players are available to Gary O'Neill. You know, he's had excellent results, fantastic success with that. I just don't see where Boubacar Traoré is getting regular game time in regardless of a change in formation or not, unless, let's say, João Gomes is sold and you're not bringing in another midfielder because you think that Boubacar Traoré can bring in or be amongst that three, starting three, maybe four if you bring in one more.
Yeah, I think the over the course of a season, how long a season is and how arduous a campaign is, there will be opportunities. And that's the key word, is opportunities. Look at Tommy Doyle this season. Didn't really have a kick early part to the campaign. A couple decent substitute appearances. Bournemouth, Newcastle did okay early parts of the season in those games. Had a couple starts. Started away at Sheffield United. Didn't have a great game, albeit the whole team didn't that night as well. And he just needed a chance, needed an opportunity, a bit of a run in the team. And he didn't really get that until probably sort of back end of the year, going into the new year. João Gomes had that red card at Brentford. Mario Lemina was on compassionate leave, wasn't he, at the time. So he got a decent run in the team. And Tommy Doyle has taken his opportunities. I think he's been brilliant, really, in the vast majority of games since then, and including Saturday night. And and that is probably the next challenge for Boubacar Traoré, is when circumstances allow it and the opportunities are there to take them. And last night, albeit there is still things to improve, I thought he took his chance last night. I really do. I think he did well. Do I think he'll keep his place going into Wednesday? No, probably not. And that's where your question comes from, really. That's the issue he's got. But the more you take the chances, the more difficult it is for a manager to leave you out. I think if he, at the age he's at, he's still got, plenty of time ahead of him. I think he's in a good place still. I think if you can learn from those around you and continue to improve day to day on the training ground, then there's a player there who will play regularly at some point. At some point, you can no longer be denied. You've just got to keep pushing.
So another person who I thought impressed me, I know yourself as well, Liam, and plenty of others, was Tuanda Chuera, who's given his full senior debut against Arsenal, and standing ovation as he was substituted towards the end of the game. I mean, for me, I put a tweet out saying that I thought that out of the youngsters that I've seen so far, he was by far the most impressive, and that he is a little bit special. Now, I would say that the majority agreed with it. However, there were some people questioning that and saying that they didn't rate him. They didn't think he did much on the ball. They thought he was a little bit weak in the tackle. And it kind of made me a little bit gobsmacked. I thought for the first time there was one of those youngsters who stood up to the test. And I feel like, yes, it's early. It's so early. It's so early for Chiwomi. It's so early for Nathan Fraser. It's so early for Tuanda Chuera. They've never thought that they'd be playing in these situations in a Premier League. I don't think anyone would, any fan this season. In fact, I would argue that a lot of the fans will not have heard of some of these players this season, going into the season. But I felt like the occasion got the better of some of these players earlier on in this, when they were depleted. I thought Tuanda Chuera didn't look out of place at all last night. I'm not saying he was flawless. I'm not saying he was perfect. He definitely wasn't. But it felt like I was watching a bloke there. I felt like I was watching, a professional. It didn't look like someone who was playing against someone going for the Premier League, world-class players on his Premier League debut, as a teenager. It just didn't appear to me like that. I felt like he put in a really good shift. And sometimes, mentality-wise, if you can see that, if you can see someone who's performing at that level, that's why that they are going to be a bit special. We've seen in the 21s, we've seen what he can do. That's someone who can be in and around this side, maybe get a loan at some point, come back, and you could see having an established Premier League career. I would argue that some of the other players we've seen, maybe not so.
Yes, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think I know where some of this negativity comes from. I think if you look at that game Saturday night in isolation, and you look at Tuanda Chuera's performance in isolation, I don't think anyone can come away from watching that without thinking he's done well. Now, I completely agree with you. Did he score or assist? No. Did he create a plethora of chances? No. But that wasn't really going to be the game for Wolves anyway, based on the sort of the way they were set up and the team they had. But he was really neat and tidy with the ball, physically impressive considering his age and size in comparison to some of the big defenders he was going up against. And his intelligence, his positioning, his awareness, and then obviously all the sort of tactical and technical things that come with it, I thought he did really well. I gave him a 7 out of 10 in the player ratings, which I think is fair. He's not an 8, 9, 10. It's not the outstanding, but it's a very, very solid, good performance for a young man making his first start for Wolverhampton Wanderers. And I think the negativity comes from, if you look at that in its isolation, I don't think anyone can look at that and say that he didn't do those things. I think that's a fair assessment. What he hasn't done in his, and Gary O'Neill sort of alluded to this after the game as well, actually, what he hasn't done in some of his sub-appearances for Wolves, the senior team, over the last few months, is he hasn't made a massive impact. Now, it's been difficult. He's been coming on in the 87th minute, and it's been games that Wolves might be chasing, or it's tough to, you know, a player of his age at 20 years old to come on and make that kind of impact. But because he hasn't been able to do that, I think some supporters, a certain section of supporters, have categorised him already as a player that's no good, which I don't agree with, and I think it's incredibly unfair, but that's, I think, reality. Some people don't rate him, don't think he's any good. And that, for me, clouds their judgment, rather, for what was a good performance last night. And then just to echo what you've said, you can see players in the 21s. Now, I'm not Gary O'Neill. I'm not, you know, I don't work as a football coach, but I think I've seen enough football to be able to recognise when there's a player in the 21s that's just a step above. Joe Hodge, for me, step above. Hugo Bueno, step above. You could see those players were far too good for the 21s, and they took their chances when they came into the first team. Obviously, Hugo's been slightly different with staying in the team in comparison to Joe Hodge, but they took their chances. Tuana Chirewa arrived at the club for £175,000 in September from Ipswich, and very quickly was training with the first team, and very quickly was travelling away to games even when he wasn't in the squad. And then very quickly, with injuries permitting, he was in the squad. And then very quickly, he was making his debut. This is a player that people can tell straight away that he's a step above the 21s. I watched for the 21s the other week when I said that Temple Odjinaka did really well. Traore did really well that night, scored as well in a 2-1 loss against Sunderland. He's a step above that level, hence why he's getting opportunities. And now it's about fine-tuning these opportunities to get the most out of him.
And Liam, before we saw a lot of these youngsters on the bench, Tuanda Chirewa was still in and around that first team squad. He was the one. He was that one player, that one youngster. Okay, there were a lot of first teamers on the bench, but he was that one person who was coming on. It was, oh, who's that? Oh, it's Tuanda Chirewa. So he was there before this injury crisis hit.
Exactly that. And that's exactly the point I was just making. He was fast-tracked into training very quickly. He's been training with the first team for quite a while now. He was going away to Premier League games, travelling with the team when he was nowhere near making the squad at that point, just to give him the experience of being with them and training and going out to games and being professional and doing what the professional needs to do. They were preparing him for these opportunities, and he took his opportunity really well last night, really, really well. It was a mature performance, which I think is probably one of the biggest compliments you can give him, not only not looking out of place, which I completely agree with you on, but looking mature, looking like a man, looking like someone who deserves to be there and deserves to be playing in this team. I don't want to say that me and Mikey Burrows know what we're talking about, but we've absolutely nailed it with Tuanda Chirewa. You've got to give us the credit. Both of us were telling you months ago that he's going to play for Wolves and he's a good player. Were we not?
What are you saying that, were you?
Don't even go there. Me and Mikey Burrows were on the Tuanda Chirewa hype train from the first day.
And I know Mikey was.
And we've been proved right. Well, to some extent, you know, if he goes on and plays two more games for Wolves and then leaves for free, then we've not been proved right. Yeah. But if he goes on and leaves for 60 million in 3 years' time, then we have been proved right. So we'll see how it goes.
It's definitely an exciting talent. Do you know his contract details? I'm putting you on the spot there. Sorry, Liam, but
you have put me on the spot. No, I don't actually. I do know that it was £175,000 that he signed for at the time.
Wow.
So yeah, I will look into that, because you'd imagine he's the next player in line to earn some sort of upgrade on his contract, as they tend to do with these young players.
And I'm not knocking, you know, obviously Chiwomi's out for the season, so, you know, wish him well and Nathan Fraser. But at the same time, it does appear that Chue was further down that line, albeit in a slightly different position. However, when Mario Lemina does come on, and look, I think, you know, you've got to get the senior players on, Mario Lemina, Pablo Sarabia, Ryan Aitnori, all of the three, and we'll come to preview Bournemouth in a little bit, we hope will be available, and maybe two out of the three, if not all three, might get a start on Wednesday night. But in terms of Nathan Fraser, he has been available for selection. He did come out the side. It wasn't really working for him. Struggled, didn't he, against, obviously, Coventry and then Aston Villa and then lost his place. But not even coming off the bench in some occasions now. And that must, even though it is early in his career, that must show him that maybe Gary O'Neill has lost a little bit of faith with him in terms of a first-team impact.
Yeah, I think so. Look, I think he's crying out for a loan move, isn't he, Nathan Fraser? I think he desperately needs to go and play regular football, stay fit, because he had obviously a few injury issues this season as well, so a few niggling things here and there. Stay fit, play consistently, probably League One, but potentially Championship. I know there were clubs from both leagues that were looking at him previously. But go out and play, go out and score goals. If you can do that, that's where you start to build, I think, probably confidence more than anything, because he's a player who's worked really hard to get himself to this point, but he's desperate to go play. So that for me is the solution there with Nathan Fraser. But I think you're right. I think after he was given a big opportunity with a couple starts and it didn't go well for him, then, you know, football's ruthless. Gary is in the business of winning games of football. He's not in the business
He scored against Fulham. Was it Fulham? He scored at Fulham, didn't he? Against Fulham. Was it Fulham game? Am I wrong?
He scored in the FA Cup against Brentford.
Scored in the FA Cup, yeah. And then was part of the team that beat Fulham.
He hasn't scored in the Premier League, so I'm not sure what you're getting.
No, I'm just saying he had a couple of good... He had a decent Premier League game. A couple of decent appearances. You don't think so?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not... he's done all right. He's done all right. Look, he scored a couple in the Cup, didn't he? And obviously scored against Brentford in the FA Cup.
I thought he did all right when he played against Fulham. He played against Fulham at home. They won the game 2-1, and I thought he did fine in that game.
You might be right. Actually, yeah, that was
came
escaping
on.
My
he played
memory.
About 75 minutes. I think Dock came on for him towards the end of that game.
Yeah,
and
no, I think you're
I actually
right.
thought he did all right. And when he was playing against Coventry, okay, everybody's frustrated with the situation, and you know with Cunha and a lot of the players not playing. And then I think from then on that the Coventry game and then the Aston Villa game were definitely a step down to what he showed against Fulham. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, and I think he's just a player who. There's something there with him. Whether he goes on and does it for Wolves or not is a question mark. But he's got an opportunity to build a career now, which is what academy football is about. Whether it's at Wolves or not, it's about building careers for these young men really to go into professional football.
Gary O'Neill said after the game that sometimes you take more from the game than just a result, and this is one of those occasions. And I completely agree with him. However, inside. If you really go into Gary O'Neill's mind, it must kill him to say that because of where they were, because of the situation. Arsenal were there to be taken. They were there. They were there, especially in that first half. You think with another two or three players, that could have been a very different result. And so I get what he's saying, and he's completely right. But at the same time, I just wonder whether this season's a case of, what could have been. And he's very keen to stress where they are, the points, and we get it, and I think everybody gets it. But at the same time, it is frustrating when you see the level of effort that these guys put out last night, when really that was the best case scenario. I feel like that was the best case scenario. A 2-0 defeat, a 1-0 defeat was probably what they deserved, actually. But that was always going to be probably as good as what you were going to hope for. And that's a shame. For me, going into a season with 4 to 5 games left, when you're hoping for a best case scenario of a 1 or 2-0 defeat at home.
Yeah, I think Gary's had to sort of come to terms with the fact that it's fizzled out so far. Obviously, there's still 5 games to go with an opportunity to change that. But up until this point, Wolves are in a slump, winless in 6 now, I believe, isn't it? And just desperate for some sort of inspiration. And I think. Obviously, we'll talk about Bournemouth and Luton coming up, but these are two massive opportunities. I think Gary, the way he approached last night's game, team selection, and the way he was speaking after the game, he knows that they're two big games. Because regardless of whether Wolves finish 11th, 10th, 9th, whatever it might be, yes, the added money's great, but that's probably less of a concern now. It's more about taking as much momentum into pre-season and next season as possible. If it if it ends on a sour note, which at the moment it is, obviously doesn't mean it will be, at the moment it is, you're going to have, people hanging on to that going into the next campaign. We saw that with Bruno Lage, really, finishing 10th and not winning in 7, ending the season, and then following seasons, you know, it's a disaster.
2-0 Man United, by the way, now at half time. Looks like Coventry going out the cup.
Okay, we'll take that.
So, brings me to the question, really, of the summer. And I spoke to a couple of fans outside after the game, and one really good, I've spoken to him a few times as well, and really passionate plea to Fosun and saying how proud he was watching that game. And it is great when you do see the passion from the fans, not just during the game, but afterwards as well, that they want to speak, they want to go on camera, they want to say how well Gary Neil's done, how proud he is of these players and these youngsters and the way that these are performing against Arsenal. But also there's an anger and there's a frustration towards Fosun and towards maybe getting more recruitment in. I think some of it's probably warranted. I think some of it's maybe a little bit harsh at times. But they want investment. Now, you said earlier on in the podcast or in the show, Liam, that investment's probably likely not to come because there is a self-sufficiency there that they want from the club, which we've discussed at length in previous shows. Does that mean to say to you that you're expecting Fosun not to put anything into next summer? Or do you think that they will give some money, X amount of million, on top of what's available for them to push on and to sign some players? Or is it literally a case of, well, you need to sell a João Gomes or you need to sell a Pedro Neto and then you could reinvest all of that money or close to that money?
So the first thing to add to this, which I think is really important, is that Fosun have invested quite a lot of money relatively recently. I mean, writing off big debts so that it's money that Wolves don't owe anymore, but also they're not owing it to Fosun at the same time. It's being written off completely. Those kind of, even though it's not what fans want to see of, right, you've spent X amount and you've got X amount of players coming in, that is still helpful to the football club, writing these kind of debts off. At the same time, they've invested in players, Guedes, Nunes. Now, players, they've invested poorly in players, but nonetheless, they have invested heavily in some players only a couple of seasons ago. And you've got, well, a couple of years ago rather than a couple of seasons actually, but you've got then this sort of what has risen from this difficulty where they found themselves in a relegation battle, they found themselves having to spend in that January to stay up, but at the same time you had Matt Hobbs come into his role. Since then, Wolves' recruitment has certainly been better, but it's in the early stages of moving to this new strategy. A new way of working. Now, that's going to mean that they'll make the odd mistake here and there. They're still trying to find their feet in doing this, but I think they've had a good start at that. So that's the first thing to add to it. On top of that, they've got to be careful financially going into the summer. They can't all of a sudden, now that they've got through the last year, they can't all of a sudden just spend recklessly and put themselves back in danger of what is the current PSR rules, albeit they might change, but the current PSR rules. And then there is that self-sufficiency that they are now in many ways choosing to work to, because they have found more quality and more value in players that they have invested less money in and often found at a younger age. And it won't always necessarily be that. They're not going to be spending 500,000 on a, 16-year-old wonder kid and expect him to be the next player for the first team. But it will be, we talk about that 8 to 15 million pound mark. It will be that smaller transfer fee and the sort of at the Premier League level where the Wolves will be doing the majority of their business. And that's because they're trying to get value out of players and build assets. And to do that, they are in the position where they don't have to sell financially if they're going to get through the summer. It's not like last summer where they were letting go of a load of players because of financial concerns. They don't have to sell. But they, at the same time, if they want to bring in numbers of players, they're probably going to have to let at least one asset go for a decent price. Now, obviously, that depends what clubs come in and what offers are on the table. So Wolves are in a position where they can still bring players in, but not in a position to to spend recklessly, and there's also not a desire to spend recklessly, whereas previously it's been right, green light, go, bring this, you know, X player in. I doubt that would happen again. I doubt that Jeff would want to undermine, you know, the recruitment team. I think now we're in a position where they've built up enough. I'm not sure if trust is the right word, because I think there's always been trust in the recruitment, but it's the way of working and the way that Matt Hobbs has now got this team working and being sort of adhered to and listened to. So that will be the, you know, finding that working relationship will be the biggest, hopefully, improvement going into the summer and the players they can bring in. But will there be, you know, incredible investment on top of that? Not expected.
I mean, he did say Gary Neil, didn't he? He kind of referenced Newcastle and Aston Villa and saying all three of us have probably had a lot of injuries, but at the same time, he's never known anything like it. They start with a bigger set of squad, a 24, 26-man squad. We start with 19. That's now down to 10 fit outfield players. Do you agree with that? Or do you feel like that's a little bit... I mean, that's not including the players that he's let out on loan, senior players that would be available to him if they had stayed.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that. I did ask Gary about this recently and put the piece out. And he said there's no regrets over letting Sasha and Fabio go, for example. They both wanted to go play. There were reasons, sort of family reasons, obviously, with Sasha as well. And yeah, I think they felt it was the right decision. And at that time, they had players ready to come in, and it turned out that they couldn't afford them, and they, you know, it didn't happen. And his, the way he described it was, normally in those circumstances, because we've allowed two players to go, if it ends up being slightly more expensive than we expected for the players to come in, normally a club would just authorise it anyway because we've let two go. But they couldn't, because of the very specific financial restrictions they were under. They couldn't go above that sort of line that they were, or budget rather, they were bringing these players in for. And obviously they couldn't get them in the end. So, yeah, I do sympathise with Gary a lot in the sense that the size of the squad isn't big enough. And I understand where he's coming from in terms of his comments there. But in hindsight, you have to say that it's a mistake letting those two go. You have to have, mm-hmm. have kept one of them back. That, in my opinion, is just... I think Gary will probably think that as to a simplistic opinion. And hindsight is always 20/20. But in my opinion, you have to have kept one of them based on where Wolves are now. And I think it's quite simple.
I think Gary Neil's done an unbelievable job this year. And I can't speak highly enough of him. I think that hopefully he's Wolves manager for a long time to come. And if he isn't, then it will be going to maybe an inverted commas top four club, potentially internationals, but hopefully that's not for a long time to come. But I think he has completely changed the attitude, the outlook of not just the players and the training ground, but of, from what I've seen, the future of Wolverhampton Wanderers. I think they're in a great position. But I agree with you. I think if there's one thing that I disagree with Gary Neil on this season, it's that was a mistake letting those two players go out on loan, regardless of which way you see it. And not, no one wants to know what's going on in the future. You should not have let both of those two players go. And that's okay to disagree from time to time. Me and you disagree from time to time, Liam, and that's fine.
Quite regularly.
But at the same time, he has been an incredible find. But when criticism does come, I think that, you know, we're going to have to get... We might be wrong. We might be the wrong. And I'm sure Gary might sit down with us and say, well, this is why A, B and C, and that's fair enough. But I think we've got to gather our own opinion. And I do think that, unfortunately, it has come back to bite Wolves a little bit, especially when you're seeing the situations around the Coventry game, around this game, etc. I'm not saying that Fabio Silva or Sasha Kalajic would have turned these games around and they would have put them, but I think they would have been in a better situation in some of these games, the way that Wolves is set up and focal points, etc. We'll never know, will we?
We won't. That's the, yeah, it's sad, really. You know, we talk about this Coventry United game being on as we speak, while we record. It's it is a shame, but you never know when it's going to come around again. You might have, you know, you might go another 20 years before getting to a semi-final, or it might happen next season. This is football. Hopefully, the foundations that have been laid here with Gary and the recruitment and the players that are here will mean that this kind of success is more forthcoming next year as well. But he's done a tremendous job. He really has. But, you know, there's no Football's ruthless, as I've already said. There's no let up. You've got to go again next season after a very short June break, and all of a sudden pre-season's all is upon you again, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that credit in the bank, you know, it doesn't last long in football, does it? But I think that, you know, we've seen what he can do with managing such a small amount of players. The way that they've performed in these games have been absolutely magnificent. Right. Talk about that and talk about the infrastructure. In terms of the team that we saw, and I mentioned the three players, the senior players are on the bench who came on, I wonder whether those players could have started this game. I would argue they maybe could at a push if it was a big game. Let's say they were playing against a Manchester United today. I'm pretty sure that at least Sarabia and probably Mario Lemina would have been playing today if it was at Wembley. It wasn't, and I can understand that because of where they were, the way they had to set up, the injuries they had. And you've got to give them, as Gary Neil said afterwards, after this game, there's 300 minutes of football this week. I've got to find in this short squad to manage 300 minutes, which it pretty much is, isn't it? 90 minutes plus 10, three times in a week, manage 300 minutes of games with inside a week of these players. And so I would expect for Bournemouth to see Mario Lemina start, to see Pablo Sarabia start. And Ryan Atnow was kind of pushed on it. He said yes, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him start. But at the same time, you're looking at least two of those three and maybe a Hwang to get another start again after lasting 5-0 minutes against Arsenal.
Be nice to have you know, the whole band back together starting on Wednesday against Bournemouth. At one point on Saturday night, I thought you were going to get a game.
I mean, the boots were in the car. I wouldn't be disappointed either.
No, I was going to say, you got on all right, wouldn't you? You'd be fine. Yeah. You're a big lad. You move well. Move well for a big lad, in fact.
I just get up and down, just do the fart legs. I can run in directions. I like Forrest Gump, I can run in a direction. But in terms of ability at the feet, left back, centre back, but nothing else really. There'll be short passes.
That's fair. No, that's fair. I mean, I jiu-jitsu, I think I do all right. I'm not sure the long form running is my thing. I think I'm not going to be doing the London Marathon anytime soon. Albeit I did turn around to Rosie today and said, should we do it sometime? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like,
it reminds me to say congrats to a couple of people. One person you will know, one person you don't. Johnny Drury, West Brom fan. Well, I assume he's completed it. He might still be running it, to be honest. But he's running it today. So congratulations to him. I'm sure he will complete it. And my little brother ran it today. One of my three little bros ran it today. So fair play to Kale. Who ran it in. Impressive time as well. Let me have a look. See where he ran it in. 3 hours, 52 minutes. Decent, that.
That is very good.
Very, very good, that.
Impressive.
Impressive. And I am running a marathon with him in November this year. Have I told you that?
You have told me that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to do the old New York marathon, which I have done a long time ago, but I'm going to go through the boroughs and the five New York boroughs and try and get a better time than last time, which was about 17 hours, 20 minutes, I think. So hopefully we can improve on that.
That's probably what I'd do in. yeah, what was the Wolves question now? I took a very big detour to that question.
I can't remember.
Something about injuries.
So in terms of those injuries, or can you expect to see these players back on Wednesday night starting?
Yeah, no, I think you're right when it comes to Sarabia and Lemina to say that, had it been this, whether it was FA Cup or not, whether if it was some sort of big game or maybe less games in the week, something like that, I think they could have started. So those
and
two,
got,
I think...
You've got to target these two games,
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
You're playing Bournemouth and Luton.
And even though they did lose, it was a good performance. And I think it was, I mean, we'll know more after these two games and we might have a different opinion. But right now, I think it was probably the right decision. Give them two, a bit of a rest. They did obviously come on and play still and then start them from Wednesday. So yeah, I would expect them both to start. With Hwang, was meant to play 45 and obviously played 50, 51 in the end. So I would expect him to start and hopefully get beyond the 60 mark in that game. Albeit with it being Saturday to Wednesday, there's obviously there's a possibility they might prefer him from the bench and start him the following Saturday. But I'm going to hedge my bets and say that, say they will start.
Especially if, sorry to cut you off, Liam, but especially if, let's say, and we'll wait to see the press comments on Tuesday, but if Mateus Cunha only misses 1 to 2 games and you're looking at him, he didn't rule out Cunha, did he, for Wednesday, but let's say he might, best case scenario, be on the bench. I wonder if you might get a little bit out of Hwang and then maybe have him benched for Luton if Cunha might be able to start.
Yeah, I think.
Or is that too? Do you think that's unlikely still?
I'm not sure you'll see Cunha start necessarily over these two. He didn't rule him out for Wednesday. I think if he's going to be involved this week, it's probably from the bench. But it depends on how Hwang reacts to playing this 50 minutes, whether he can start, and then also how much of a risk they're going to take with him playing. Then you've got Ryan Aignori. I mean, he came on at right wing back when he did come on.
Yeah, and looked useful, to be honest.
He did, yeah. I mean, he played probably slightly longer than I thought he would, only because Gary said that he might make the bench and he was a bit unsure about it. And obviously the player must have felt a lot better than he either expected or Gary was sort of underplaying it a little bit. But you'd imagine that Aignori, if he doesn't start Wednesday, will start at the weekend, considering he looked pretty sharp when he came on. So with those options in mind, I could see a world where Hwang doesn't start Wednesday and does start at the weekend. But I'll hedge my bets and say he starts Wednesday. I think Strabi and Lamina do. I think Aignori is obviously in the squad. And then obviously it's down to Cunha and Semedo whether they make it in time. As I say, he didn't rule either of them out. Mm-hmm. He did actually, with Aignori, hint that he could start on Wednesday. I think he used the word probably will, actually, which is quite definitive. But we'll obviously wait and see how he reacts over the next couple of days. Obviously, Dawson's going to be out long term. I don't expect we'll see Pedro Neto in either of these two games. I think he's still a little way off. And you're looking at Man City onwards, because obviously Man City's the third to last, and you've got Palace at home, then Liverpool away. Originally, they were looking at the last one or two games. He did say he's not close after Saturday's game. So with that in mind, I think it's probably Man City at the earliest, and even then that might be too early. But we'll know more as he progresses over the next week or two.
If right, and look, with the tried João Gomes, they've tried Tommy Doyle. Do you feel that if Ryan Aignori is available from the start, that he will play on that left hand side higher up the pitch, and the likes of Hugo Bueno, and if Nelson Semedo's not back, Doc will occupy those left and right wing back slots still?
I think so, yeah. I think considering where the injuries are and still the nature of some of the injuries, obviously Bellegarde was still big question marks over where he's at, really. He's seen a specialist. It hadn't sort of settled down as quickly as they would have hoped. He then was getting a little bit closer, but he still said another week or two when we spoke on Friday with Gary. So with all of those sort of things combined, I think it would be a surprise to me if Aignori is not part of the front three when he does play. Gary was very reluctant to do that originally. And then I think has sort of tracked back on some of his comments since then because of how well Aignori did in those advanced positions. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't start in that front three when he does start, whether that's Wednesday or Saturday. But just to have some of these players back and for two games that, you know, Wolves should be targeting maximum points in, or at the very least 4 points, I think you need to be targeting a really good return from these two games, especially to have a nice end to the season.
Yeah. In terms of predictions, who's going to go? Shall I choose mine, because you're not going to be at the game?
I think because I'm not there, I think we've got to go with your predictions for the comp. I think that that makes sense. And despite the fact I actually got the prediction right for Saturday's game, I'm going to allow you to take it.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
I did.
2-0 defeat. You did.
I did.
Fair play. Okay, we shall give away a home and away shirt. How's that?
I think that's fair enough. That's very generous of you.
Give me your prediction, please, first.
Okay. For both, yeah?
Are you going to send me a picture of you on a camel, by the way?
I probably will, yeah.
Please send me a picture. It will not go any further than social media.
And I would expect nothing less. Predictions for both games, yeah?
Yeah, you can do both games. Yeah, that's fine.
Why not? Bournemouth, let's go. I don't think it's an easy one, Bournemouth. Mm. I think they're a good side, or good enough to cause a few issues. I think it's going to be tight. I think Wolves win 1-0.
Okay.
They are currently 3-1 down to Villa, by the way.
Yes, they are.
As we speak, 86 yeah. minute. Yeah, I'll go 1-0. 1-0 to Wolves. And then Luton, I would like to think it's more comfortable, but knowing Wolves and the way they sometimes struggle against these kind of teams, It may not be. But with it being at home, I think it's still a Wolves win, 2-1.
Oh, good. I think 2-1 as well for the Luton game.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout.
I think 2-1 win. And for this one, for the prizes, I'm going to say that Wolves will be in a better position on Saturday against Luton than they will be on Wednesday night. I think Wednesday night's a little bit of a little bit difficult to call. And I'm going to say it's Wolves 1, Bournemouth 1.
Wow.
1-1 draw.
Unbelievable.
Whoa, don't give me that. Just because you're going off now, give me Mr. Negative Nancy.
That's
I think 4 points, you know, if they get 4 points of these next two, I think that's the minimum. I think they'll get the 4 points. But I think it'll be 1-1 on the Wednesday night.
That's
but most importantly, people don't want to know about your prediction. They don't want to know about my prediction. They want to know about the magic ball prediction. Magic ball. Will Wolves win on Wednesday night against Bournemouth? Oh, no. Don't count on it.
Oh, this is all your fault, man.
Oh, 1-1. There you go. Magic 8 ball agrees with me. Could be a 1-1 draw.
Wait. Didn't the Magic 8 ball say that Wolves were going to beat Arsenal?
Yeah, but the Magic 8 ball was not that magic because he hadn't seen or heard or sat down in front of Gary O'Neill on Friday.
You know what? That is an out for the Magic 8 ball there.
And the Magic 8 ball thought all the boys, thought Lamina was available, thought Sarabia was available, thought Cunha was available, thought Ryan Anoy could have played. So Magic 8 ball was misinformed.
Benefit
was deceived.
Doubt. Yeah, deceived. I'll let him off.
Okay. So Magic 8 ball, I think he's done pretty well. He's done better than both of us, so give him a chance. Or her.
They.
Right. Have a great time, my friend.
Thank you.
Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Doesn't leave me much wiggle room.
Really doesn't. And also, just make sure... Are you sharing a room? Or are you in your own room or what?
We're staying at my friend's apartment, so I think I'll be sharing a room.
You're not on any... It's not like the student rubbish that you blow up beds and all this kind of thing, is it?
No, you're
going to have a nice bed and stuff.
We'll be looked after. Don't worry about that.
Hydrate. Please don't just go alcohol. Please drink some water. It's the desert there. You know, it's you're a young, fair-haired, pasty young lad, 17 years old, not, you know, a long way from
17,
home.
17, crikey.
Just make sure that you're very careful, okay, in more ways than one.
Very careful.
Okay?
Anything for you, Dad.
Come back safe and sound, and I'll see you. When are you going to be there? Man City?
Well, the presser before then, but yes, I'll be back for that game. I mean, I'm back that week, so I'll be around the whole week, but yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, like I said, you're only missing the two presses and two games, so you haven't done bad. It'd be for four days out there.
Oh, poor man.
Great. Kino, thank you very much for hopping on. I really appreciate it. From me, from Kino, have a great weekend. I shall see you with Mr. Ollie Westbury on Wednesday night at Bournemouth. Well, not at Bournemouth. That would be a long trip for me, more than you. From me, from Kino, have a great weekend. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.
You better retreat, because we're on the attack. The strength of the wolf is the strength of the pack. We're Wolverhampton, we're on our way back.